everyone. We are live. Today is May 11th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. We're going to say hi to some of you that are coming in the chat. We always like to do that as we begin and people are notified we're going live. I see, oh my gosh, the chat's starting to go super fast. Cincinnati, Benton, Arkansas. God bless you. Happy to have you with us. Stigler, Oklahoma as well. I see Georgia, Newport News, Virginia. God bless you. Scotland. Hello to our international audience coming in. God bless you in Scotland. Thrilled to have you on. Northern Michigan, El Paso, Texas. God bless all of you. Hello to our Texas audience that are tuning in tonight. Sakahari, New York. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. Hello to our neighbors in New York. Los Angeles, Albuquerque, New Mexico, California, and North Dakota. God bless all of you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Blessings to you in Pennsylvania. Hello to you in Taxachusetts. I'm in Taxa York, so I totally get where you're coming from. We are on the same side of the map, and I totally understand your plight. Nampa, Idaho. God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. Minnesota, Indiana. Hello. God bless you. Oregon, Vermont, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. God bless all of you. Thrilled to have you on with us. Louisiana, Knoxville, Tennessee. God bless all of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mount Vernon, Ohio, Florida. God bless both of you. Long Island. Hello to our neighbors in Long Island, New York. Thrilled to have you on with us. God bless you. Australia. Hello to our friends across the globe in Australia who are watching. We are thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Oh, let's see. Who else is coming on here? Oh, I'm looking. Oh, this is an interesting. Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. That's a mouthful. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us. Charlotte, South Carolina and Riverview, Florida. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Hello in New Brunswick, Canada. Hello to our Canadian viewers. We love you. God bless you. We're thrilled to have you on with us. Oh, Jersey Shore. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey. Very happy to have you on. And Norway. God bless you in Norway. Very happy to have you on. My husband, Chris, is actually part Norwegian. If you couldn't tell by the blonde hair, the blue eyes, and his tall, lanky disposition. But yeah, he's part Norwegian. Okay, let's see. We'll do a few more here. Hello to you. Shalom in Arizona and in Gilbert, Arizona. God bless both of you. Colfax, Louisiana, New Hampshire, and Alberta, Canada. God bless all of you as well. And hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Hold on to your Bibles tonight, people. It's going to get real interesting. I'm going to open up in prayer as usual, but we are going into everything because, well, since the federal government did this, it is our duty, I believe, as ministers to unpack it. They have released the UFO files, and we're going to get into what this really is and what is really going on. And we're going deep, people. This is going to go deep tonight. Your brain's probably going to do backflips by the end of the broadcast, but it's going to be worth it because we need to understand and have wisdom and discern the times we are in and understand what is happening in the realm of the spirit and how it is affecting the natural in this time. As Toby looks like a beached whale in my doorway right now, as we've begun, Toby has just sprawled himself out in my doorway. Little Buster's in here too. He's in here somewhere. Oh, he's over here. He's on the far corner bed over here. Okay, so let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord because we're going to get into some deep stuff tonight. And we're going to get into everything. UFO files, what the word says, the hierarchy in the spirit realm. It's going to be fascinating. So, but we're going to give it over to the Lord first. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. Father, we come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Father, we come before you acknowledging the immense sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly came to the earth. He willingly was the Passover lamb. He willingly died for our sins. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And miraculously, he was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And Father, we praise you for that, Father God. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, we just praise you, Father God, that at the cross, when that blood dripped onto the mercy seat, purchased us, redeemed us, paid the price in full, that Christ blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again, defeating hell, death, and the grave, ascended back to be with the Father, took his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your presence, the weight of your glory, the who you are, the conviction, the holiness, Father, of who you are, let it saturate this place. Father, let people tangibly feel your presence. Let them be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Father, go forth tonight. Give people eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Go before us, Lord. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps, Father God. Order my words as we mightily, Father God, go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God. May only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Lord, allow me and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God. Lord, we praise you. You are ordering our steps, for the steps of the righteous are indeed ordered of the Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, discord, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, threat, witchcraft, spell, dark art, incantation, smote, and any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the holy fire of God, let it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, scattered, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the area you have designated for such, Father God, to be blocked from returning or having anything sent in its place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We most certainly just the clay, or the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we have is because of you. We are the dust of the earth without your breath breathed into us, Father God. Lord, we exist because of your mercy, Father God. We praise you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are he who liveth and died. And behold, you are alive forevermore. You are holy. Your word says, it is written, be thou holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Lord. Father, we praise you, Father God, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will say of the Lord, he is our refuge and our fortress, our God, in him will we trust. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. Under his wings we shall and will take refuge. His truth, the Lord's truth, shall be our shield and buckler in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you that you are long-suffering, that you are slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, Father God. We praise you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the earth is your footstool, Father God, that the enemy may attempt to erect empires, Father God. He may attempt, Father God, to build up strongholds, Father, but when the Enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. Help us to raise that standard tonight, Father, for you. Father, help us to speak the truth, Father God. Help us to speak your word, Father God, amidst all the tumult, the noise, the outcry, the confusion that the enemy is attempting to sow into the airways, Father God. Your truth is like a double-edged sword. It is a spear. It is an arrow, Father God, that cuts through, Father, the deceptions, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, Father God, tonight. Lord, we in the book of Isaiah, it says, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. And Father, we just praise you, Lord. We put our heart posture in the right place. We set our mind on the things above, not the things below, Father. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Welcome to everyone jumping on during prayer. I felt that prayer, praise the Lord, and we need it tonight because we're getting some interesting stuff. If you could share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. It does help us tremendously, and we're very grateful to our viewers who do that. So, we are going to get into, hold on 1 second here, let me see if I have the right notes because I have them in another place too. And I want to make sure I have the right notes here up. Just give me a moment here. Oh, yes, this is what I need. Okay, hold on. I'm opening it up right now. Okay, so we are going to get into the very interesting topic. Because the government has decided in their infinite wisdom to release what they have on UFOs and to release the UFO files. And they have decided that this is the time to do it and, quote, let the people decide, right? Transparency, let the people decide. Well, this is a labyrinth, and this is something that we are going to unpack here, because when people talk about UFOs and UFO files and unidentified flying objects, we have to go into what they really are and what dimension they're really from. And we are going to go, this runs very deep, and we're going to be taking you into scriptures. We're going to be taking you into a look at the book of Enoch as well. We are going to be talking about the rankings and divisions and the technology that exists in the realm of the spirit. And so we're going to be getting into all of this and unpacking it tonight, because I believe as believers, we have to be aware, because they will attempt to use these things for great deceptions. And this is why we have to understand what we're dealing with, where it's coming from, why it's happening now. Okay, so we have an article for you that announces this. Pentagon releases declassified UFO files from various federal agencies. The Pentagon on Friday released declassified UFO files from various federal agencies, some dating as far back as the late 1940s. The documents, which the Pentagon said included, quote, never-before-seen files on unidentified flying objects called Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena by the U.S. government, were being posted on a new government website. And now the American people, they're saying, can access these declassified files instantly. And they will continue to release these files, is what they are saying. So they're just releasing the first batch of these files now. I found it interesting. This goes all the way back to the 1940s, and I'll tell you why. Because Israel became a nation in 1948, and I believe once they became a nation, the prophetic time clock began to increase, which meant spiritual activity began to increase greatly from that point forward. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get into a lot of different books, scriptures, hierarchies here, hierarchies in the kingdom of darkness. And not all of this is demonic. There are other categories of interdimensional beings, like fallen angels, like disembodied spirits that are working in conjunction together with this. So first, what we're going to do is we're going to examine the Book of Enoch, and then we're going to hold it up against the Word of God, is exactly what we're going to do. Now, the Book of Enoch is part of the Apocrypha, and we cannot hold it in the same capacity we hold the Bible, because it is Jewish historical text and commentary that assists in understanding further what is in the Bible. That's how we have to view it. So if we're going to take a look at things that are written in Enoch and then hold them up to the Word of God, this is how we have to look at it. The Book of Enoch was a Jewish text from the 2nd century BC that includes references to a fallen angel called Watchers, who taught humans weapons and vanity. And so basically, many argue that the Book of Enoch was once in the Bible, but was eventually taken out. In fact, in the 1600s, when King James ordered that the Bible be translated, a lot of books of the Apocrypha were in the Bible back then. I know, because I was gifted a Bible from the 1600s, and many of the books of the Apocrypha are actually in the Word with the rest of the 66 books. It was about, I believe, 200 years ago or so that they were ordered to be taken out. Now, the Book of Enoch was composed during the 2nd and 1st centuries, during which time it was adopted among a large number of Jewish communities in the Middle East. The book is said to have been written by Enoch, who is thought to have received it as revelation from God. The Book of Enoch was accepted as canon by many of the early church fathers, including Clement of Rome, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, and Tertullian. It was, however, later removed from the biblical canon by the 4th and 5th century Christian councils, is when they started removing books from the canon. Now, to understand where we're at today, with the information being released by the government in these UFO files, we have to examine the Book of Enoch, the Book of Genesis, the Book of Jude, Matthew 24, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians 6. Because there is a complex spiritual paradigm that exists in the spirit realm, these being interdimensional beings, not extraterrestrial beings. These are not beings from other planets. These are interdimensional beings. They are in different categories. They're not all demons, though many are thought to be. Some of them are actually not demons. They are in a different category. They are in the category of fallen angels, of disembodied spirits. We're going to get into all of that and show you that. But the spiritual activity that we're seeing is just that. When people are seeing these things in the air, when they're having these encounters, you're not dealing with extraterrestrials. Don't you think, with all the satellites we've got up there moving around, that someone would have seen ET waving at them already at some point? Don't you think we would have seen something that proved there was life on other planets? But I will tell you, it is interdimensional beings that we're dealing with. And I do believe we're entering a time like the days of Noah. They're here, where supernatural activity increases to such a level it cannot be explained away. I believe these UFO files being released is because we're entering that time, and it's not only a heightened level of sophisticated warfare, but a heightened level of spiritual activity within the earth, more so than we have ever had at any other point in history. I believe this is the point we're at. So we're going to start in the Book of Enoch, and then we're going to weigh it up to the Word of God. Like I said, Enoch is Jewish historical text, and it is commentary. And this is how you have to take it as such in order to help give some depth and understanding to what is in the Word of God. Sort of like Matthew Henry's commentary. It's similar. So let's go to Enoch chapter 6, because we have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to what happened and how Earth went completely sideways. We know the fall in the garden made a catastrophic separation between God and man that Christ had to come and rectify. But something happened back in the days of Noah, back in the days of Methuselah, back in the days of Enoch. So let's go to Enoch 6, and we're going to read it. So Enoch 6 says, "And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and beget us children. And Semjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear you will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. So they're aware if they do this, the penalty of the sin will be great. And they all answered him and said, Let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon, where the UN, by the way, has one of its most secretive bases. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders. Samlazaz, their leader. Arakobah, Ramil, Kokabel, Tamlel, Ramlel, Danel, Ezekiel, Barakijol, Asael, Armaros, Batarel, Ananel, Zakiel, Samsapil, Satarel, Turel, Jomjael, Sarael. These are their chiefs of tens. These are the watchers, the angels who were supposed to be overseeing man and protecting them, actually ended up turning on man and doing something catastrophic to them. So these are the watchers. Now go to Enoch 7. And all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them. And they taught them. Now listen to the list of what man was taught from the watchers. They taught them charms, enchantments, the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. They're teaching them sorcery. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells. We'll get into that in a minute. Who consumed all the acquisitions of men, and when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds, beasts, reptiles, and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. So it became so depraved, the earth itself cried out and rendered an accusation against them in God's court. So the earth itself cried out and rendered an accusation. Now, in the book of Enoch, it claims the giants were 3,000 ells tall. Now, let me just put this in perspective, because a lot of people believe that this was misinterpreted. 3,000 ells is the equivalent of 11,250 feet, which, by the way, is the height of Mount Hood in Oregon. This is believed to be a textual error, although there are cultures in the earth that speak of giants thousands of feet tall in their accounts that they have passed down. However, from what we know in the Bible with Goliath and the giant of Gath, about 10 to 18 feet tall might be where they land. However, the other side to this is we don't know how tall the watchers were. We don't know how tall these angels were, because they easily got to the top of Mount Hermon without an issue to make a pact. I want you to think about this. These angels got up to the top of Mount Hermon pretty darn fast, so we don't know how tall they were. But according to the book of Enoch, some of these giants got as tall as Mount Hood. Now, what we do know is the offspring were quite large, had superhuman powers and strength, the Nephilim. So the watchers who fell with the earthly women created what is known in the book of Genesis as the Nephilim. Giants that have superhuman strength and that are part supernatural themselves. Now, if you look at our society and you look at the movies, and you look at media, and you look at TV, where do we think Superman, X-Men, Marvel comic heroes come from? They come from the account of the Nephilim, of the Watchers rebelling against God, marrying earthly women, and creating these beings that were superhuman in strength that ultimately then interdimensional beings would come forth from, and we're going to get into that. Okay, let's go to Enoch 8. We're starting in Enoch, and then we're going to weigh it up to the Word of God. Enoch 8. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates. He taught them how to make weapons and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them and the bracelets and ornaments and the use of antimony and the beautifying of the eyelids, the entire makeup industry. Now, I'm not saying wearing makeup is wrong all around. Don't get wrong what I'm saying. I'm saying the beginning of it came from the Watchers having this knowledge from what they saw in the heavenlies and giving it to man. Beautifying of the eyelids and all kinds of costly stones and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Semjaza taught enchantments. He taught sorcery and root cutting. Armoros, the resolving of enchantments. Barakijal taught astrology. This is where astrology comes from. This is where horoscopes come from. Kokabel, the constellations. How to tell the future by the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. That could even be judging the weather. Arikel, the signs of the earth. Shamsiel, the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon. So being able to track what's going to happen, right? By the course of the moon in a way that's like a horoscope, not in a way that judges it up to the word of God. And as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. Now, Enoch 10. We're going Enoch 10, and we're going to do a little bit more, and then we'll get into it, because this is where what we're seeing, what's called UFOs, this is where it comes from. So we have to get into what happened first to understand it. Enoch 10. Then said to the Most High, the Holy and Great One spake, and sent Uriel, the son of Lamech, and said to him, go to Noah, and tell him in my name, hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all generations of the world. And again, the Lord said to Raphael, who is one of the archangels, bind Azazel hand and foot and cast him into the darkness and make an opening in the desert. I want you to remember this. Make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudael, and cast him therein and place upon him rough and jagged rocks and cover him with darkness and let him abide there forever and cover his face that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment, he shall be cast into the fire and heal the earth, which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the Watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons, and the whole earth has been corrupted. So the mysteries and secrets they had from heaven, they took it, corrupted it, and then taught man to use it in a way that God never intended it. Now, Azazel is the one who's getting cast into the fire because he was the ringleader of the whole operation. But he's bound in the desert right now. He's bound in a dark desert until the great judgment. Okay, Enoch 16, from the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants. Now listen to this, because the flood comes. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits, having gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation, the great judgment, which the age shall be consummated over the Watchers and the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. So when the giants were destroyed, out of their souls, spirits went forth into the earth. That's what this is saying. It also says, and now as to the watchers who have set thee to intercede for them, he's talking to Enoch, who had been aforetime in heaven, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones, and these in the hardness of your hearts you have made known to women, and through these mysteries women and men work much evil on the earth. Say to them, therefore, you have no peace, because what they did... Almighty God saw into the future and saw the amount of death, destruction, corruption, decay, and debauchery and depravity it was going to create in the future. They were being judged off of all it would create, not just off of that moment. Okay, Enoch 19. And Uriel said to me, here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits assuming many different forms of defiling mankind, and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as gods till the day of the great judgment, in which they shall be judged till they are made an end of. And listen to this. And the women also of the angels who went astray shall become sirens. So when they died, they were turned into a type of spirit too. And he says, and I, Enoch, alone saw the vision, the end of all things, and no man shall see as I have seen. What is a siren? Well, in Greek mythology, it is a female seducing being with an alluring voice that kind of is depicted as a mermaid. So there are mermaid creatures that is a part of the faction of the kingdom of darkness known as marine spirits or seducing spirits. So that is what happened to the women when the flood came, who joined with the watchers, and out of their offspring, the giants, spirits went forth out, disembodied spirits went forth out of them into the earth. Now, when we go to the book of Jude, verses 5 through 7, because Jude is only one chapter, this is what it says. Now we're going to start weighing what has been said in Enoch in the commentary up against the word of God, and talking about the fact that UFOs are interdimensional beings. Now, Jude 5 through 7 says, now I want to remind you, although you are fully informed once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own designated place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, he has kept in eternal chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So that matches what was said in Enoch. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent cities, since they, in the same way as these angels, indulged in gross immoral freedom and unnatural vice and sensual perversity, they are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of everlasting fire. Jude 14 through 16. It was about these people that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, look, the Lord came with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh and cruel things ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are habitual murmurers, griping and complaining, following after their own desires. They speak arrogantly, pretending admiration and flattering people to gain an advantage. So the book of Jude parallels to the book of Enoch. What Jude is saying is what Enoch said happened to these watchers, these angels that rebelled and fell, and they're known as fallen angels, who are in a different category than demons. And the Nephilim, the giants, disembodied spirits came out of them, which is also in a different category than demons. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, because this has to do with these UFO files and what else they're going to release. They're starting slow. There's going to be some highly strange things in there that are going to be very hard to explain away and say there is no realm of the spirit by the time this is done. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. But the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceitful, seductive spirits, right? Like sirens, and Doctrines of Demons, by the hypocrisy of liars whose conscience are seared as with a branding iron, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from certain kinds of foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and have clear knowledge of the truth. For everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Now, Doctrines of Demons goes beyond just false teaching with the Bible. Doctrines of Demons goes into the UFO conversation of what they're going to attempt to do, which we're going to get into, which is going to say these extraterrestrial beings created man. Those are Doctrines of Demons rewriting the creation story and saying that extraterrestrial beings had a hand in creating man is exactly what the devil wants to do, to corrupt the pool of unadulterated wisdom from the word of God that clearly shows that we are created by Almighty God. These are Doctrines of Demons too. What they say with UFOs, what they say the capabilities extraterrestrial beings have, and we could learn from them. This is part of 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Now, by the way, this spirit, this seducing spirit that he talks about in here, and the siren, that's the exact type of spirit I saw wrapped around the trunk of Tucker Carlson in the dream I had about him. We have it pinned to the top of our X account, at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. That type of spirit, which is a seducing spirit, was what was wrapped around the trunk of his body in that dream. Now, so what's being spoken to Timothy goes far beyond just false teaching. It enters the arena we find ourselves in with the UFO files being released and what they claim these extraterrestrial beings did and said and whatever files they will release. So, to go further with this, when the giants were wiped out by the flood, you had these disembodied spirits that came forth from it. And if we go back to Enoch 16 and 19, it talks about this. Enoch 16, from the days of slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits having gone forth shall destroy without incurring judgment. From the souls of whose flesh the spirits having gone forth from those souls, from that flesh shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation, the great judgment, in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and the godless. Yea, shall be wholly consummated. Enoch 19. And Uriel said to me, here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits assuming many different forms. Many different forms are defiling mankind and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as gods. This is where they want to lead this. This is where wicked individuals who have sold themselves out to worship fallen angels and demonic hosts want to bring and lead man into worshiping them and sacrificing to them. Now, between one third of the angels, okay, that fell, all right, as well when Satan rebelled, he took one third of the angels with him that fell. And then you have, those are fallen angels, and then you have what occurred with the flood on the earth in the days of Noah, right? You have these disembodied spirits, and you have demonic beings. And you have ranks and divisions that were formed in the kingdom of darkness. Just as the heavenly army has ranks and divisions, so does the kingdom of darkness. Now, if we go to Matthew 24, verses 37 through 38. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the very day when Noah entered the ark. Who were they given in marriage to? watchers, fallen angels. As in the days of Noah, they were marrying and given in marriage. Who were they marrying? The watchers. And they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the days of Noah had giants who were genetically corrupted, destroying humanity. It had disembodied spirits from being wiped out afterwards, that they shall destroy without incurring a judgment until the great judgment comes. And they shall go out and cause men to worship demons. This is what it looked like in the days of Noah and the days after the flood. Now, this is what the days of Noah mean. Sin would greatly increase on earth. Righteousness would become harder and harder to find. Spiritual activity would greatly increase, and it would bring forth wickedness into the earth. And they would turn men to worship demons. They would turn men to worship. So these are not extraterrestrial beings. These are fallen hosts, disembodied spirits, and demons that are highly technologically advanced, and we're going to get into that, has technology and capabilities far beyond the earthly realm. Now, this is why this is happening now. This is why the UFO files are being released now. I understand the government wants to be transparent, but it's a sign we are entering the days of Noah. I want you to remember as well, whatever technologies, capabilities, powers, the ranks and divisions of the kingdom of darkness have, that fallen angels have, you must remember that Satan was first an archangel and saw technologies and capabilities in heaven, that when he fell, he took that knowledge of what he gained in heaven and reversed engineered it for wicked exploits in the earth. The watchers took what they had seen in heaven and reversed engineered it and taught it to man in ways it never should have been taught to them on the earth. Now, to prove to you the different ways this presents itself on the earth, I want to tell you about Scientology for a minute, because something is about to upend with Scientology, and it's going to be flipped on its head and accelerate because the UFO files are being released. I'm discerning this. Now, I'm going to show you, because in 1 Timothy 4, worship doctrines of demons. They're going to worship demons. They're going to worship disembodied spirits. They're going to worship fallen angels. With the Church of Scientology, they accept that intelligent life exists throughout the universe and has for millions of years. And Xenu, a galactic overlord, basically who is one of these beings, is behind all of it. And the myth of Xenu goes, 75 million years ago, Xenu headed the Galactic Federation, which was an organization of 76 planets that had already existed for 20 million years. And then the planet suffered a tremendous problem of overpopulation, and Xenu decided to kill people in large numbers, freeze their souls, and transport the frozen souls to Earth, okay? And then they were left in the vicinity of Earth, where in turn they were destroyed by nuclear explosions. This is what Scientology believes, but this has to do with the disembodied spirits, the fallen angels, and the demonic that came forth from the fall of Satan and from the flood. And so basically, Xenu was eventually rebelled against. They fought against him for 6 years, and he was imprisoned. Where was he imprisoned? In a barren desert. Now keep that in mind. All right, because this is the doctrines of demons. This is part of it that's being spoken of. Now, look at the wording, 76 planets, right? Very interesting. Being our nation was founded in 1776, and this is where Scientology decided to be birthed from. Enoch talks about the souls of the giants and the spirits that came forth, right? Keep that in mind for a minute. The fight lasts 6 years between this Xenu being and others within the planets, well, or the galaxy. That's almost the amount of time frame of the Great Tribulation, which happens to be 7 years. And now he's imprisoned on a planet in a barren desert. Let's go back and look at where these watchers, these fallen angels, are who rebelled according to the Book of Enoch, where they're being held. Okay, so Scientology claims who they worship, Xenu, is being held in a barren desert. Let's go back to Enoch 10 for a minute. I'm showing you this because if this stuff is coming out now, you better believe that these type of false religions are going to attempt to go into hyperdrive. Now, Enoch 10, then said the Most High, the Holy One, the Holy and Great One spake and said to Uriel, the son of Lamech, and said to him, go to Noah, tell him in my name, hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world. And again the Lord said to Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in due Dael, cast him into the desert. That is where he's being cast into. The desert. Where is it believed that Xenu is? Oh, he's bound in a desert. Cast him therein and place upon him rough and jagged rocks. So Azazel was the one that was bound and thrown in the desert. They're calling him Xenu. This is a fallen host. This is the doctrines of demons. This is what's being worshipped. Now, they call it an extraterrestrial being. It is not. That is a lie. These are interdimensional beings, fallen angels. These are demonic and disembodied spirits that we are watching come in and out of our dimension. Now, they're not aliens, they're rebellious watchers, and their ranks and divisions that come along with them. And these are the doctrines of demons that 1 Timothy 4 speaks of. I'm telling you, in this time, Scientology is going to attempt an advance and push, claiming they have all the answers now because these files are being released. And I believe they will even put out nationwide commercials and campaigns attempting to cause the UFO files to validate their beliefs. I'm telling you, watch what happens with this, because this is all 1 Timothy 4 that we are dealing with right now. Now that we have a foundation, how we got here, we must talk about the ranks and divisions of the kingdom of darkness and why they have the capabilities they do. Because what these files contain is not proof of extraterrestrial life, but of interdimensional beings who can come from the spirit realm into the natural, who can come from the second heaven into the natural, who are fallen angels as well as demons, as well as disembodied spirits in these ranks and divisions. Now, as well, scripturally speaking, there's a very different context scripturally between angels and demons and fallen hosts. In scripture, when we read about holy angels and their ranks and divisions, they utilize chariots, war horses of heaven, fiery chariots. Christ himself at Armageddon returns on a white horse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So over and over we see the vehicle that is being used, that many times holy angels in their army are seen on chariots. In fact, 2 Kings 2:11 has Elijah being taken up in a chariot of fire. Now, this is a bit complex because earth is a shadow of the realm of the spirit and the heavenly realms. So if on earth we have crafts and fighter jets and commercial planes and all sorts of flying apparatus, would we not think that within the kingdom of darkness, especially within the ranks and divisions of fallen hosts as well, they would not have a craft of transport and a device of transport? If we have it on earth and earth is a shadow of what goes on in the realm of the spirit, wouldn't they have such things too, but far, far beyond our technological capabilities? So, in these ranks and divisions, you have fallen angels, which are not demons. And one of the greatest misconceptions in modern Christianity is believing demon equals fallen angel. They're wholly a separate group. So fallen angels are the original heavenly beings who rebelled. They're the watchers who rebelled. Some roam the earth, like the third that fell with Lucifer. Others are imprisoned for violating divine boundaries, spoken of in Genesis 6 and Jude 6. Those are the watchers, spoken of in Enoch. They are giving orders from their imprisonments to interdimensional beings within the earth and to men who have sold their lives and become slaves to such masters to do their exploits. Bloodlines of men that have been selected to give themselves over to carry out orders from these imprisoned beings, to carry out orders from the third of the angels that fell, to carry out orders from demonic forces. Now, we're going to put it up against God's word, because Genesis 6, 1 through 6, this is what it says. Now, it happened when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and desirable, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose and desired. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive and remain with man forever, because he is indeed flesh. He is sinful and corrupt. Nevertheless, his days yet shall be 120 years. There were Nephilim, men of stature, on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, and they gave birth to their children. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. These were the offspring of the watchers and earthly women. Now, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The Lord regretted that he had made mankind on the earth. He was deeply grieved in his heart. Okay, that also matches up to some things that are being said in the book of Enoch. Now, go to Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Extraterrestrial beings are flesh and blood. Right there, Ephesians 6:12 is saying our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, struggle here in Greek is pele, which means to wrestle or fight. So it's a physical, hostile engagement against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Now, these are ranks and divisions in the kingdom of darkness. And then they have sub-ranks from there. Principalities, that word comes from the Greek word archai, A-R-C-H-A-I, which literally translates means first in rank and order. Firstness in rule and authority. Principalities derive their powers directly from Satan and may be, according to the Greek, the highest ranking entities in their army. They influence the affairs of humanity at national levels, impacting laws, policies, impacting entire nations. They are very specific in their purposes, that they often embody and try to influence world leaders and utilize them to carry out agendas set forth in the kingdom of darkness. Next in the chain of command is powers. The Greek word for power is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which means delegated authority. These are demonic spirits that derive their jurisdictional authority from principalities, and they delegate assignments and powers to them. They affect and attempt to influence and control structures, systems, different areas of our society, family, government, education, even the church. Then you have the rulers of the darkness of this world. In Greek, it is Kosmokrator, K-O-S-M-O-K-R-A-T-O-R. It means a world ruler, an epithet of Satan. These spirits are very high-ranking officers that have specialized jurisdiction over cosmological systems of the universe. They have rule in the kingdom of darkness. They're responsible for attempting to blind people to the truth, for facilitating sin and wickedness and iniquity within the nations and systems of the world. They are also responsible for keeping people in a state of darkness. This is why they are called rulers of the darkness, because when one is in darkness, they cannot see. They seek to keep men blind to the truth and committing idolatry against God. They affect the thoughts, feelings, perceptions of humanity through different avenues and empires that have been raised up within these, within the earth. Mass media, music, movies, fashion, sports, philosophies, even religious ideologies. Spiritual wickedness in high places is the next one. The Greek phrase for this is pneumatikos poneria epuranios, which speaks of a type of spirit found in high and lofty places that are responsible when it comes to perversions, depraved and debased actions, and they seek to warp and corrupt the truth. Now, because it works from a high and lofty heavenly place, the second heaven, you're dealing with celestial zones, you're dealing with cosmological powers and zones. This is all second heaven we're talking here. So you're dealing with the atmosphere in high places. You're dealing with what includes the mind and imagination, because that is a lofty place. That is a high place, believe it or not. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. So spiritual wickedness in high places is where the war of the mind is waged. Now, Ephesians 3:10. So now through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God may now be made known, revealing the mystery to the angelic rulers and authorities in heavenly places. To the church be made known and will be revealed the mystery of the angelic rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Part of this is the fallen hosts, as well as the other ranks and divisions we're talking about, that actually operate in a technology and an advancement that is far beyond our capabilities. And the church is supposed to be equipped with the wisdom to understand these mysteries and to warn of such when the enemy attempts to use such to put forth doctrines of demons as the unadulterated truth. Now, There's other sub-factions and divisions in the kingdom of darkness. You have also what people would call marine spirits. The Bible mentions several sea beasts in Revelation 13:1. There's a beast that rises out of the sea. In Job 41, you've got Leviathan. Isaiah 27 as well mentions this. That's associated with chaos, demonic powers, and rules. Now, the first few verses of the Bible equate the waters with chaos. As the Spirit of God hovers over the deep before transforming the earth from emptiness and darkness to full of life, which is Genesis 1:2, right? So that's part of it. The Bible provides several examples of the sea and deep waters as realms of the Spirit that are in conflict. For instance, Psalm 74:13, you divided the street by your strength, the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. Isaiah 27:1 states, in that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. He will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Revelation 13:1-2 also describes a beast coming from the sea, rising out of the sea to oppose God's kingdom. So even biblically speaking as well, there's an account with the Philistines, their god Dagon in 1 Samuel 5:2. They took the ark of God. They set it in the house of Dagon. The Lord smashed Dagon to bits, struck the Philistines and afflicted them until they gave back the ark. What's interesting is Philistine means Palestine. So if you wonder what is influencing that movement with Palestine wanting to take over the land of Israel, it's these factions of the kingdom of darkness who stirred the people to bring an outcry. Dagon was many times he was depicted as half man, half fish. He was made to look like a mermaid. The Philistines were a sea people to begin with, and so this is not a far stretch. So if you ever wonder what these demonic forces look like, just look at the characterization and kingdom set up under the sea in Disney's The Little Mermaid. These are not figments of people's imaginations. These exist in the realm of the spirit. What these ranks and divisions seek to do is push their ideologies, agendas, and influence into the earthly realm through willing hosts who are filled with the influence, who then produce it in the earth to influence man and desensitize them to the true demonic nature and corrupted nature of what these beings really are. Another example, the Starbucks symbol. What is it? A mermaid. Okay? These are not figments of people's imaginations. These are actually agendas that exist in the realm of the spirit that then get pushed into the natural. This is why it's been widely reported that those in the military have witnessed these UFOs and these foreign crafts coming in and out of the oceans, because these ranks and divisions of the kingdom of darkness have their thrones and headquarters set up within these areas of the earth. They have these hubs that then connect to greater war rooms and control centers that they actually have in the kingdom of darkness. They are highly technologically advanced in these ranks and divisions, far beyond human capability, which means they have an ability to create technology, crafts, and devices that are far beyond this world, that are far beyond the capabilities of man, that are far beyond what we have. This is why when people see these crafts, they can do things that no craft in the natural can do, because this is technology coming from fallen angels, disembodied spirits, and demonic forces. They are far beyond the capabilities that man have. Far beyond. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Right? The word devices in Greek is nomada. It means a mental perception or thought or an evil purpose. A device is also a vehicle that is used to accomplish a purpose. So if the kingdom of darkness, because they are deceptive in nature, want to deceive man into believing there was life on other planets in order to steer man away from the miracle and anomaly created by Almighty God on planet Earth, they would develop schemes and devices to make man believe there was extraterrestrial life in order to hide their true interdimensional demonic nature. Everything they do is meant to set up a narrative that is not the truth of what they really are. So if they get people to believe there's aliens, that there is other flesh and blood, then what they do is then they cause the creation account to become a lie. That God didn't just create man in his image. That there are other beings out there created in other images. And then it begins to dilute and confuse humanity into believing that we were not made in the image of God. And that is solely part of their agenda. Then you have the powers of the air. Now, Satan is known as the prince of the powers of the air, also highly, highly technologically advanced. Look at the media. Look at radio. Look at television. Look at the words they use. Television. Programming. Channel. You see, this is another rank and division in the kingdom of darkness that has taken technology from the realm of the spirit, pushed it into the earth, into willing vessels, raised up empires then to channel that technology and then use it to deceive and influence humanity. Where do we think advanced AI capabilities in its origin comes from? These computers that they actually want to cause to become conscious beings. Where do we think that capability comes from? Where do we think that technology comes from? There's an origin for everything. That technology is coming from the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't mean that once it's in the earth, Almighty God can't take it, like what we're doing right now with a podcast, and use it for his glory. But they are creating technology. They are creating ideas. They are creating corporations in the realm of the spirit, fallen hosts, disembodied spirits, and demonic forces in these ranks and divisions, and pushing it into the earth, into willing vessels. Now, I will tell you, I believe that deep within the federal government, deep, deep within the federal government, there are individuals who communicate and are in covenant with these beings, with these fallen hosts, with these disembodied spirits, with these demonic forces, who actually get information and technology from them. And I believe this is actively going on within governments of the earth, within the globalist community, within certain religions, including Scientology. And there is a percolating deception to cause humanity to believe these beings are all-knowing, all-powerful, that they have the answers we seek, that they have the technology that can help us, that they have powers that will advance us, that we don't need Almighty God because they have the answers. This is why we have to be sober-minded and vigilant in this time and understand that things could get very layered, very confusing, very fast. And unless you're holding on to this and you understand what is in this and you understand how the kingdom of darkness operates, you understand that fallen angels are different than demons, that they are bound in deserts, that there are fallen angels being worshipped by religions right now that are giving orders from where they are bound to ranks and divisions and to individuals who have sold themselves out for them. So when you see what's happening in the skies, the photos they're releasing, these UFOs, encounters that pilots have had with these crafts, these are not extraterrestrial. These are interdimensional beings that are in different categories that are fallen. So, like I said, you're dealing with fallen angels. You're dealing with disembodied spirits from the Nephilim. When the giants were killed, spirits came forth out of them. And you're dealing with demonic, actual demonic forces. And they all work in conjunction together. And they all look to always take man's eyes off of God. So if in the day and age of cameras and internet and video and satellite, this is why you're seeing more and more pictures of this, because it's being captured now. It's being captured in the age of technology, and more as it's captured, it's drawing people's eyes to it. More and more as these files are released, it's going to make people curious about maybe communicating with them. Maybe if they've got answers we don't know about, that's exactly what they want us to think, because their entire mantra and dogma is to lead people away from the true knowledge of God, from Jesus Christ, from the unadulterated truth of the Word of God, and cause people to come into covenant and alignment with their powers, with their rulers, with their technologies, with their forces, with their agenda, and with their ideologies, that then God's own creation turns on him and does the bidding of fallen hosts within the earth. They're coming in and out of the dimension. This is why you see these crafts come in. They make crazy maneuvers that we can't do in the law of the natural and then disappear into thin air, because the law of the spirit is different. And they have been allowed, according to the book of Enoch, according to other books of the Bible as well, they have been allowed to continue until the great judgment, to go out and destroy until the great judgment. So when in John 10:10, it's written, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John is talking as well about these disembodied spirits that came forth from the Nephilim that have gone out to destroy and deceive until the great judgment comes. I know this is a lot of information, and I know this is heavy, but I believe we got to get our head right with this, and we got to understand where we're at, because the people in the church, let me tell you something, I had people in church come up to me this Sunday that were nervous, that didn't understand what was being released, that were having a hard time comprehending what UFOs are. And we, as the church, as those in covenant with Christ Jesus, need to know our opponent. We can't fight an enemy we don't know. We can't engage an enemy we don't know. We cannot expose an enemy we don't know. If we don't know the devices of the enemy, the craft of the enemy, the apparatuses of the enemy, the way the enemy operates, how do you expose an enemy you don't know? You know, it was Chuck Missler who said, I read the Bible to find out what God is doing, and I read the New York Times to find out what the devil is doing. And you know what? He's absolutely right, because we have to know both. We have to know what God is doing, but we also have to be aware of what our opponent is doing. We cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And we have to understand that what they're seeing in the skies are these three categories of fallen hosts that are coming in order to try to deceive the masses, that are communicating with those deep within our government, deep within the globalist agenda, deep within the religions of the earth, communicating with them, giving them information, technology, giving them methods, giving them ideas, giving them seducing tactics, because they're in covenant with them. This is going on. They are in communication with these beings. And we have to understand all the governments within the earth are complicit in this. I'm not saying everybody in the government is complicit. I'm saying there are factions in the government that have come into covenant with these fallen angels, with these disembodied spirits from the Nephilim, and with demonic forces, and are receiving just like they did in the days of Enoch, as the watchers gave unto men knowledge they shouldn't have. Knowledge in weaponry, knowledge in sorcery, knowledge in the cosmos. They're doing it today. They're giving to man knowledge they shouldn't have in technology, knowledge they shouldn't have in the advancement of weaponry, knowledge they shouldn't have in using powers and sorcery to control men. They're still doing it today. They're just doing it in chains. The watchers are doing it in chains, and they have messengers, and they have those that are going back and forth, that are communicating with those that have sold their lives out to do what in the days of Enoch God found so vile that he brought the flood to destroy it all. That's how vile it is. This is what a degradation before God it is. This is what a debauchery and mockery it is before God. And they're doing it. So when they release these files, because they've started to, you have to hold everything up to the word of God. You have to look at the commentary as well. Like I said, the book of Enoch is a commentary. And hold it up to the word of God. And that is where we destroy sophisticated arguments in high places, because this is what this is. This is a sophisticated argument in high places. This is a lofty and high place that these crafts, these UFOs, these technologically advanced beings are coming from. They're coming from the second heaven into the earth. They're coming from the oceans and the realms into the earth to deceive and to cause man to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. That is the great deception, that man doesn't need God, that man with these fallen hosts and disembodied spirits and demonic powers can get along just fine, that man can create another type of consciousness that would be available to us. And there are men in high places right now getting deceived into carrying out the orders and the covenants and the technology of these beings. So remember all of this. We're going to be putting this up on the website. All of this teaching, we're putting it up. But I just wanted to, for a few minutes here, bring him on, because he asked to come on tonight. Clay Clark has been waiting in the wings. We're going to bring him on. He's been listening. So let's hear what he has to say about this as well.
Amanda, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I had three quick notes I wanted to share with your listeners about what you just said there. First off, aliens. For anybody who may have missed what you were referencing, or maybe hasn't read the Bible obsessively, as you've got me doing these past few years, Genesis chapter 6 talks about before the flood, there were fallen angels mating with humans. We call that the Nephilim.
Yes.
And Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 tells us it will be like as in the days of Noah, before the return of Christ. And
yes.
So if you've listened to Elon Musk, he has said out loud that AI is, quote unquote, summoning the demon. This is Elon Musk
he
describing
did say
He said that. Bill Gates, the co-founder of OpenAI.
It gives a new meaning now to it, now that you say it after what was taught tonight.
Yeah, you know, Bill Gates and Elon Musk, they co-founded OpenAI together. And yeah. Bill Gates has described AI as solving the Tower of Babel problem. And I quote, solving the Tower of Babel problem. Well, what was happening as in the days of Noah? So again, very important stuff, folks. Everybody look that up. That's Genesis chapter 6, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Also, just a note here, Hantavirus. Yes. The word Hanta in Hebrew means, and I'm reading it to you, it means a scam or a lie. Something
right before the midterms, Clay.
Right. That's what
right
Hanta
before
means.
The midterms.
Hanta actually means, the actual meaning in Hebrew is a scam or a lie, something fake or garbage. Yeah. That's a real thing. The other thing I wanted to point out is if you read your Bible, you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 18, verse 21 through 23, the Bible tells us that people will be deceived and there will be no jobs. Yeah. Nobody will be working anymore because people will be deceived. And we can debate about the timeline. But Elon Musk has said he advocates now for universal high income and nobody having jobs. Sounds a lot like Revelation 18, 21 through 23. And the final note is Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14. If you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14, the Bible tells you specifically, when the Euphrates River dries up, and it is, China and Russia will team up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. And by the way, they're ideologically opposed and they're teaming up. That doesn't make any sense.
That's incredible.
The false prophet will show up.
Mm-hmm.
It says the beast technology will show up. And all the nations will gather against Israel and things will begin to blow up. So this is all. So the Bible, again, folks, if you haven't tuned into Amanda Grace before, I encourage you to do it because she's a teacher. She's a preacher. She's a coach. She's a person who really cares. And you got to understand, folks, that the Bible, 27% of that Bible is prophetic.
It is.
73% of the Bible is historical. And I'll tell you this. You can listen to a lot of broadcasts and podcasts, but you're not going to hear about the Marine Kingdom. You're not going to hear about Nephilim. And Amanda Grace, yes, she did. This wonderful host right here I'm talking to right now, folks, she's the one who encouraged me to read the Bible every day. And she did it live on air. So live on air.
I called him out live on air. I did do that. I did. I challenged him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just say this. For everybody out there, read the Bible on a daily basis. But a quick update is if you want to join Amanda Grace, you want to join Amanda, you live in person. If you want to General Flynn, live in person. You want to join Del Bigtree, live in person. You want to join Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer, who, by the way, was just endorsed
by President Trump.
J. Trump to become our next congressman from Oklahoma. If you want to join the Reawaken crew, so many of you watching this have joined us at a Reawaken America event. This will be the Reawaken reunion, the final installment. It's June 19th and 20th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So again, if you've joined us in New York, Florida, California, Oklahoma, or if you missed out on joining us in the past, we did 24 Reawaken events. This is the final one. This is the Reawaken reunion. It's right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's June 19th and 20th. June 19th and 20th. And Amanda, I could not be more excited for two things. I couldn't be more excited for your listeners seeing how the Bible is converging with current events, as you mentioned with Chuck Missler. What do you say to somebody who's been reading the Bible like I used to once a week or, you know, once a month? Or what do you say to somebody who was in the boat that I was in, let's say 4 years ago, that, you know, has maybe been reading the Bible once a week?
Yep. I would say times are accelerating and you better get in that word every single day. Otherwise, you're going to miss it and you're going to be deceived and your head's going to spin and you're not going to understand what is up, what is down, what is wrong, what is right. So you need to get in the Bible every single day because it sharpens and equips us to discern the voice of truth from the lie and the great deceptions that are being perpetrated.
And it's been said by many people that are smarter than me, but if you find someone with a Bible that's worn out, a Bible that's falling apart.
Yep.
You're going to find somebody with a life that's not falling apart.
Uh-huh. I got rips in mine, tears.
Yeah.
It's bent. Oh, yeah. It is. It's kind of falling apart. See? I'll show you. See?
There it is.
It's kind of falling apart. Yeah.
So, one, I just encourage everybody, again, if you want to do follow-up reading, what Amanda said, everything she said, it's in the Bible, folks. I encourage you to check it out. Second is if you want to join the Reawaken Reunion, the final installment, it's going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Somebody says, well, how long is it? We start at 7 a.m. and we go till about 7 p.m. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You say, well, how long is Amanda going to speak? You know how it goes, Amanda. We give you one of the longest speaking slots so that you can really share what's on your heart. Also, you have prayed for our attendees in the past. A lot of people come to these events and they want to seek one-on-one prayer, and you've been so generous to do that. And so I would encourage everybody out there, if you want to meet Amanda, you want to meet General Flynn, come join us. It's June 19th and 20th. As of this very second, we have just under 200 tickets remaining. You say, well, where is it going to be? It's going to be at Sheridan Church. You say, well, where's Sheridan Church? Or who's that? Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer, who's a man that I met almost 5 years ago. He's now, he's received the complete unconditional endorsement of Donald J. Trump to become the next congressman from Oklahoma. And he has a great church, Bible-believing church. He's hosting this final Reawakener reunion. And you might say, well, how much are tickets? Well, Amanda, as you know, we let people know it's you can name your price. So it's $250 or whatever price you want to pay. So if you're watching this and you grew up in a tough financial situation like I did, you could pay whatever price you want to pay. If you're in a spot where you could afford to pay $250, we'd love to do it. We have first-class security, great speakers. It costs a lot of money to put on these events. And I found a way to lose millions doing the Reawaken tour over a four-year period. And then Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, myself, Mike Lindell, we all got sued, and we all lost. All of us lost our lawsuits. And so will justice win in the end? I hope so. But we all lost. We all had to lose or settle or whatever version of the lawfare. And so, again, we're not doing these events to make money. We're doing these events to save our country. And so, again, recap. Someone says, where to get my tickets? Go to timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com. Or if you prefer a faster service, you can text me direct right now. This is my ultra professional sign. This is my white sheet of paper with my phone number. That's my cell phone number. You can text me directly. It's 918-851-0102. 918-851-0102. 918-851-0102. You can text me directly. That's my cell phone number. And Amanda, we still have accommodations for a few people. And Amanda, I want to thank you for sharing what the Bible has to say about current events, because I'm telling you could go to CPAC. I'm not slamming CPAC. You could go to Turning Point, Amanda. You could go to any conservative event and you're not going to hear about Dagon, half man, half fish. You're the only person I know who talks about Enoch. You're the only person I know who quotes Chuck Missler. Seriously, you're the only person that Amanda, why is it that many people, I'm not looking to name names, but why is it that many conservative podcasts and broadcasts just won't reference what's in the Bible as it relates to current events?
Because I think they don't want to touch it. I think they are so concerned about maybe their reputation, their sponsors, and other things going on in their life. And I think a lot of them don't understand it. I think a lot of them are not deep enough in God, their relationship with the Lord through Christ Jesus, his word, to understand these things that are going on. And we have to really seek after it in this time, because it's going to get strange. The days of Noah were strange. Right. I mean, it's going to get real strange, people. And we better understand what is written in the Word of God so we realize, okay, I know what this is. This is the days of Noah, people. Time to build the ark. We're ready.
Amanda, I had one final thing I wanted to mention here, and then I'll let you go. Some people say, what can I pray for? What can I pray for? And I just want people to know this, and maybe you can confirm this, or maybe you can deny this. But I have, you know, when the Reawakened Tour ended, my friendship with Eric Trump started about 4 years ago. Yep. And he and I become friends. He participates in our ongoing business conferences. So we have Tim Tebow and Eric Trump. They come to our business conferences, and it's something I've been doing for you. I've been doing my business conferences for 21 years, okay? So Eric and I have a great friendship. He comes to our Tulsa events all the time. And Eric reached out to me shortly after the election, and the conversation was, hey, I appreciate all the work you guys did. If there's certain things that we can do to help save our country or certain people that we need to know better, please let me know, because we want to surround my father with great people. And this is a true story. And I said, okay. And I gave him a list of some people that I would recommend that would maybe be familiar faces in the White House, or that would be great. You know, not a big list. We're not talking about hundreds. We're not talking about dozens. But on that list was your name. And on that list was Pastor Jackson's name. Okay. And it meant the world to me, and actually brought a tear to my man eye when I got a call. And the call was, hey, Clay, Eric called me and he said, hey, just so you know, my father is going to be, don't put this on social media yet. This was a couple days ago. He said, but my father is going to be without reservation, 100% supporting and endorsing Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, woo, yes, yes. And I hadn't been that excited since I found out that you were going to the White House. So all I can say is, having you in the White House. So if someone says, what can I pray for? It's to create divine appointments.
Yes.
Try to open doors that no man can shut. To put /Ark of Grace Ministry right there in the White House alongside our president. I really do believe it is very important for our president to be surrounded by wise counsel. So I am praying. And I've been pushing and following up. And so far, Amanda, you've made some great connections. And I won't mention the names, but there are many people now that we've been able to introduce you to that absolutely love you. They're speaking highly about you behind your back. People are speaking good about you. So I just pray that more doors will be opened for Amanda Grace to get in that White House consistently, and that more doors will open up for Pastor Jackson Lallmeyer to not only win in Congress, but to continue bringing in some great people around President Donald J. Trump. So be praying for Amanda Grace to get in that White House more often, and for Pastor Jackson Lallmeyer to win that congressional seat. So that's all I have for you. I'm sure I kept you over your time, but I appreciate you very much.
I appreciate you, Clay, and all you do.
Timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com, June 19th and 20th, Reawaken Reunion, baby.
Amen. See you then. Thanks, you, Clay, for joining us tonight. We so appreciate it. God bless you. Oh, Clay Clark is like being on a roller coaster without a seatbelt. Let me tell you, when he comes on, it's just like full speed ahead. And, you know, I have to say, I was humbled and honored. I did not know Clay put my name on that list till sometime later. It was a very short list of people. And I was humbled and honored. And, yes, we appreciate all your prayer as God is opening doors for us in Washington, D.C. And it's like, here I am, Lord. I'm willing. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for this night. I know this was an interesting night. I know this was a lot of material to cover. I'm probably, as more comes out, we're going to delve even deeper into this scripturally and really unpack it, because in this time, these are the doctrines of demons that are going to try to deceive people. And these are the nature of the fallen hosts, the disembodied spirits, and the demonic forces that are attempting to go out in a great army and deceive the nations. They're after not just one nation, not just America. They're after the nations. And we have to remember that as these things come out and as what happens unfolds before us. Also, few announcements. There's a big one. We have a biggie here. Night of prayer. We're doing it. It's going to be this Friday. This Friday. Oh, if Monday's the 11th, oh, 15th. Friday, May 15th at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be announcing the speaker lineup shortly, but night of prayer, before we go into the rededication of this nation, I came together with Pastor Jackson Lallmeyer of the White House Office of Faith and Clay, and we're like, we need to do a night of prayer. We really need to intercede before this nation is dedicated back to Almighty God. So mark your calendars, night of prayer this Friday for the nation and for the president and the cabinet and the rededication of this nation starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time live on Ark of Grace. Also, we're going to put up Brace for Impact briefly. This is a highly prophetic book that goes all the way up to 2028. If you go to arkofgrace.org, it's already a bestseller in categories in Amazon, and we praise the Lord for that. So if you go to arkofgrace.org, you can click on Brace for Impact. It'll take you to Amazon. It is also available everywhere books are sold. And this book speaks about not only what we see happening, but what is to come. So we thank everybody who has bought it so far, and I was blessed to have to be honored to write that book. Also, we have a new member of Ark of Grace arriving. We have Wednesday. We will release the footage when they come. We have a new resident that is coming to Ark of Grace Sanctuary, a special case we agreed to take in. And so when he arrives, we will film it, and we will certainly put it out on all our social media for you. Also, two other things before we close tonight. We'll put up the wellness company first. This is the wellness company. Use promo code GRACE. You'll get 10% off nutraceuticals and 60% off a parasite cleanse. They have an incredible parasite cleanse as well as an incredible host of products that are far better for you and far superior than what the big box operations would like to offer you. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, click on the wellness company, you can see the wide variety of products that they have. They also have an ultimate spike detox. They have an ivermectin benzazole cleanse. They also have some incredible hygiene products like toothpaste as well. You can use promo code GRACE for all of it and get 10% off. Also, Grid Down Chow Down, these two amazing brothers make an amazing product, grass-fed, grass-finished beef. It has a 10 to 15 year shelf life. You can use promo code ARC, I believe it's for a 20% discount. They have an incredible jerky for your pets. So if you want to give your pets a grass-fed, grass-finished treat that only has one ingredient, you can use promo code ARC on their dog jerky. They also have beef jerky for humans as well. So if you like beef jerky, they have it at their website as well. You could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Click on Grid Down Chow Down to see all of their products. I will tell you, Missy and Cyrus, Buster and Toby absolutely love their dog jerky. So wonderful brothers, Salvation Track in every package. They're preaching the gospel, so I think that's an amazing thing. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team as well. We so appreciate your help, and we want to encourage you in the word as we close. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day, and say it in the discipline of truly wanting to walk with the Lord. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I speak those scriptures every night before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. I would encourage you to read Genesis 6 as well right now, and the book of Jude, given what we have covered tonight and given the release of these UFO files. So we always like to encourage you in the word as we close. It is living, active, current for every generation. It is transformative. It is powerful. And it is our weapon of choice in this time. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. God bless you. Keep the faith. And we will see you Friday for the night of prayer for the nation.